Well, we're not talking rock and roll on this segment. No, it's time for the annual Sastel Saskatchewan Jazz Festival in Saskatoon, and the weather looks like it's shaping up to be just perfect. Shannon Jawsdal joining us right now, Executive Director of this year's Sastel Saskatchewan Jazz Festival. Morning, Shannon.
Good morning.
So, things are looking good.
Yeah, things are looking good. We are very excited about a fantastic year in store.
Okay, tell us what's the plan here for the Jazz Festival, dates and some of the highlight performers.
So July 3rd through 12th, we've got our festival happening all throughout Saskatoon and a little bit outside of Saskatoon as well. We've got three ticketed series, one at the Broadway Theater, July 8th and 9th, with the Joshua Redman Quartet on the 8th and the SSO and SJO joining forces with David Braden and Alexis Normand on July 9th. We've got a four-show series, the Strictly Jazz series, happening at the Basement from July 3rd through 6th. For all of those hardcore jazz fans, two of those four shows are already sold out, so check that out on our website, sassjazz.com.
Yep. Yep.
And then we have 4 days of ticketed headliners, July 9th through 12th, at the main festival site in Victoria Park, featuring artists like Alison Russell, William Prince, Jimmy Vaughn and the Tilt-A-Whirl Band, Barney Bentall, Chantal Kraviazic, Paula Cole, Sophie B. Hawkins, Late Street Dive, Katie Tupper, and a whole bunch more.
Wow.
We've got a ton going on in the ticketed program.
You know, it's interesting, in the many years of the Sastel Saskatchewan Jazz Festival, I know every year I talk to organizers and they talk about sometimes the challenges, different things that impact how you're able to get artists, be it the Canadian dollar or travel plans, but you sound like you've got a pretty well-rounded field there this year.
We do have a pretty well-rounded field. I'd be lying if I said that the news of the day hasn't affected us for sure. We were watching the dollar very, very closely and strategically buying for U.S. dollar, and we definitely see economic conditions affecting live events like ours a lot. So it is something that is hard won to come across a diverse lineup like that.
Best advice we can give people that are just hearing about the Jazz Festival, maybe they kind of gapped on it and that it's all of a sudden, oh my God, the Jazz Festival's coming up right away. Best thing is to just go online to the website saskjazz.com, and really everything you need to know is right there, isn't it?
Absolutely. Everything you need to know is at saskjazz.com. You can buy your tickets. You can look at the program guide. You can see all of the free shows. I hadn't mentioned those yet, that we have 75% of the program is completely free, including our neighborhood pop-up program, 4 days at Victoria Park that are completely free, and our Morris Through and Lounge Late Length series is completely free. You can get all that information at saskjazz.com. But if you're just an analog person, visit the Broadway Theater from 12 to 6, Monday to Friday. Get your tickets, and you can get a hard copy of the program guide.
You said something earlier that kind of piqued my interest. You said we've got all these events going on July 3rd through the 12th in and around Saskatoon, I do believe. So what's the outside Saskatoon?
Yeah, so our neighborhood pop-up program is something we started in 2023, which is a program where local businesses buy in and sponsor an artist to perform in new and unusual places where you might not expect a concert to be. This year we have 32 of those shows, and two of them are happening outside of Saskatoon. One is happening at Whitecap First Nation at the Dakota Dunes Resort, mm-hmm. and the other is happening at Heritage Common in Hepburn, Saskatchewan.
Nice.
Yeah, they're most known for the Museum of Wheat, but they sent us an email a few months ago that said pop-ups go north? ? And we were very intrigued, and now we're, you know, taking our name as the Saskatchewan Jazz Festival seriously, and we're headed north to Hepburn.
That's exciting. Good for that community. Shannon Jawsdal is joining us, Executive Director of the Sastel Saskatchewan Jazz Festival, which gets rolling tomorrow in Saskatoon. I've got to ask you this, with Victoria Park, of course, where a lot of it goes on, and the downtown, that's one thing I've always loved about the Jazz Festival. It just brings a lot of people downtown. Some people are a little reluctant about travels to downtown Saskatoon. What are you doing as far as security and helping people feel they can be comfortable and safe for the festival?
Yeah, we've got great security provided by the commissioners and the Saskatoon City Police. We have both on site. We have a fantastic first aid team through St. John's Ambulance to take care of everything and make sure that everyone is safe on site. We're also closing off Spadina Crescent West just in front of the festival site to slow down traffic and make sure that everyone is getting to the site safely. We also know that parking and traveling in and around that area can be a concern. So we actually provide a free shuttle. It's called the SaskJazz Shuttle, and it's provided by SGI, the Saskatchewan Lotteries Community Trust Fund, and the City of Saskatoon have all supported that initiative. So you can actually hop on the free shuttle bus. You don't have to worry about parking. You don't have to worry about walking in the dark. You can get a free ride to the festival through that service. And the map for that is also on the website at saskjazz.com.
Good stuff. And with, everything going on with our economy, people reluctant to travel south of the border, do you think that's having a positive effect on you in that are you seeing your ticket sales at a better level because people are saying, I'm sticking around Saskatoon?
You know, we hope that, you know, Saskatoon is a notoriously last-minute town. We hope that that does show up as things go. But actually, we found that the economic uncertainty has affected us in the opposite direction, that folks are more concerned and they're wanting to hang on to their dollars, which we understand. But that is hard for us as an event that, you know, has to put out 50% deposits on artists and technicians and all of those things. So we hope that folks, when they're thinking about where to spend their very hard-earned entertainment dollars, that they think of us. We are, you know, we are locally produced. There's no Live Nation involved here. This is all done locally by local people. We have over 450 volunteers involved in producing this festival. We're a registered charity, and we provide a ton of outreach programming to the city, including our care home outreach program, where we send artists to local care homes. We're doing 8 this year. We've got our Jazz in School Saskatchewan program, where we provide jazz education in schools that maybe don't have that kind of a program, and our Jazz Intensive Summer Camp to provide more jazz education opportunities for students in high school and university.
Wow, you got a lot going on, Jen.
We got a lot going on. Plus, you know, again, I mentioned we've got 75% free programming. We've got free transportation. We are really trying to be a part of the community and reach out to the community. So we hope that folks will recognize that and decide that their entertainment dollar is well spent with us.
Well, good on you. And Saskatoon downtown is always fun and vibrant when you get a lot of people down there, and that's what you'll do. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Shannon Jawsdall, Executive Director of the 2025 Sastel Saskatchewan Jazz Festival. Kicks off tomorrow. Find all the details at saskjazz.com. Thanks for coming along today. It's 11:44. You're listening to The Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Satisfied with this weather forecast. A little hot today for Saskatoon, Regina, around 30. More heat in the south and the southwest part of the province. It's summertime, right, in here in Canada. And you think about some summers, you know, where we get the Omega block or whatever, where there's just no air movement and it's just blue sky all the time. And you go back over the years, you get that Omega block and it's hot for 2 months. We've been pretty good so far. You know, we've had bits of rain here and there. Could use some more. I'm sure most of the farmers would agree, but it's always nice to see some rain. There is the possibility of some shower activity towards the end of the week, maybe on the weekend, and just a couple days of above normal temperatures here should get into a little bit cooler range towards the end of the week here. Off of our text line, I wanted to share, because we get a variety of texts in. I talk a lot. I talk a lot about different things, and so people react and share me their thoughts. I was talking about significant vehicle malfunctions. Dean and Regina sent this neat story. Several years ago, we drove our aging Aerostar van all the way to Victoria. Family vacation, my wife, 2 young kids. We're waiting for the ferry to Victoria. The van made some unpleasant noises, wouldn't start. After 15 minutes and some quick prayers, it did start, and we continued on our way. We ended up having a holiday, drove all the way back to Regina, drove onto the driveway, and the van died as we stopped. The transmission had seized, and the vehicle never went another kilometer. Well, I guess that's the power of prayer there for you too, Dean. Boy, the furthest you could be away from home and your vehicle starts acting up. They just dread those kind of days. I was talking earlier about the heat in Europe. Devin says, don't go to Italy in July. All those open canals, also part of their sewage system. It'll stink to high heaven in that heat. Yeah, tell my wife that. Penny wants to go to Europe. She's got a significant birthday coming here in July. And I said, you know, why don't we wait till September, October, cooler, smaller clouds? Nope, got to go in July. Okay, and also talking about some of the comments I saw on a Twitter post about the memories of staying at your friend's house, the sleepover for the first time and your experience. Glenn in Saskatoon says, I love staying at my friend's house. His mother was a fantastic cook with all kinds of great desserts. My poor mother could barely boil water. She was a terrible cook. Oh, Glenn. Tough, tough, tough. You know, to me, that was a memory of staying at a buddy's house too, wasn't it? Is their food was different. You know, this isn't your mom's cooking. This is somebody else's mom cooking. Sometimes it was good, sometimes. Or they gave you a dish that you just couldn't eat. You know, oh, here's your liver, Brent. 1-877-332-8255. We were talking as well about the provincial government says it is going to extend the life of all of its coal-fired power plants. All of this, of course, will see probably a legal battle with Ottawa over environmental regulations. Jeremy Harrison announced the decision that he sent out and a letter to all SAS Power employees in June. There was no real public announcement on it. Harrison said the province will continue the use of all coal plants as it moves eventually towards nuclear power generation. Well, that's not going to be in my lifetime, I don't think. But off of our text line, one of our listeners, Dylan, says, and I detect some sarcasm here. Dylan says, didn't you know coal is the future? Haven't you been paying attention to the Trump administration? Saskatchewan and Alberta can't help but fall in line with Daddy Trump. That's from Dylan off our text line at 1-877-332-8255. Earlier today, I was talking to our business guy, Paul Martin, and he was talking, you know, some broad general points about how things are pretty good in Saskatchewan. You know, they're not perfect. But we've got the lowest unemployment rate in the country, and a lot of industries are thriving here. But he also made an effort to point out what's going on in some smaller communities and some of the things they're undertaking to improve their economic position for businesses and for their residents, their citizens as well. This is Paul Martin talking about those communities.
This one I find quite fascinating, and I'm trying to track them, and you know, I'm pretty sure I haven't got all of them, but the ones that have stood out a little bit, Moosomin, Carrobert is the most recent one. Moosomin and each of these communities, Tisdale also has been very active, and underlying this is communities that have said, hey, look, if we're going to have a future, we're going to have to take it in our own hands, and we're going to have to not wait for, you know, the premier to drop something on us or some business just to move here. We've actually got to figure out what are the drivers and how do we, you know, build around those and actually create a reason for development and expansion of our community. Each of them has a different driver. Moosomin is centered, there's around healthcare and aviation, which is an interesting combination. But the latest one to come out of the gate was Carrobert a couple of weeks ago. They launched something they call KGIC, Carrobert Growth Investment Co-op. So they created a co-op in the community, went through all of the hoops. It really took them about a year to get it done, to get through the Securities Commission provincially, to get registered and licensed and authorized to actually go out and raise capital. But that's what they're doing. You can buy a membership in the co-op for $50, and you know, one person, one vote, the standard co-op structure of capital raising. And then they sell preferred shares, and the idea is to raise an equity pool. And their population has actually grown about 10% in the last year. And the biggest complaints they get is there's no housing. And if I did want to have a business in Carrobert, there's no place to put the business. There's no buildings. So I think those would be the targets that they're looking at. Probably, you know, maybe build a building or something that they could house some enterprises, and they do almost a rent-to-own sort of structure to make this a revolving fund. So sure, if it got paid back, they'd, you know, build the next one. it's pretty cool.
It really is. Some creative ideas, and really not a bad problem to have. We just need some solutions now to accommodate the growth in these communities. Good.
Yeah, and you know, it is about a community taking charge of its own destiny. And I listened quite carefully, you know, earlier, you know, maybe a year and a half ago or something, when you heard some mayors of smaller communities in the province complaining that their ERs were closed because they didn't have staff on the weekends or, you know, extended periods. They're yelling at the province to hire more healthcare workers. And it sort of struck me as, you know, the mayor could do just as well, like helping by saying, let's make our community more attractive to bring healthcare workers in. If, you know, you're a 22-year-old graduate of nursing school, are you going to go to a town of 12 or 1400 or do you want to go to one of, you know, 150,000? It's social life. It's all of those things that come with it. You've got to make your community more attractive. And it really starts with population building. And it's way easier to attract people to a community of 5 or 10,000 than it is 1,000. And that should be a target for a lot of local communities.
That was Paul Martin. We were talking earlier this morning about some areas of the province, how well they're doing, and how a number of communities are really taking it more upon themselves to try to grow their local economy and attract more business as well. New news on the way here. Oh, by the way, I mentioned earlier how well the Blue Jays are doing. Yesterday beat the Yankees 12-5. Day before beat the Yankees 5-4. They've got two more games in Toronto today and tomorrow against the New York Yankees. And right now, they're just a game behind the Yankees. The Yankees are on top of the American League East, but just by a game. A lot of people wondering about Buck Martinez. Of course, Buck, just such an awesome human being, does the color commentary on the Sportsnet broadcast. Anyway, he's got some health issues. He put out a message saying he's had a little health setback. He had been hoped, he had hoped that he was going to be back for this Yankees series, but he says out of an abundance of caution, he is going to be taking some extra time off. So we wish you well, 76-year-old Buck Martinez. Dan Schulman and Joe Siddle, I think, are doing a pretty good job without Buck. Joe's okay. I actually am becoming more of a fan of Caleb Joseph. You see Caleb on Blue Jay Central with Jamie Campbell, but they're all pros. They get the job done, and as long as the Blue Jays are winning, I don't really care who's calling the game. New news, and then our final 30 minutes of the Evan Bray Show on CKOM and CJME.